with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
So you need to consider what you're doing, take inventory of your life, and say, how am I doing in pleasing God? Do I have a burning desire in me to please God? If you don't, you need your zeal restored. If you don't have a burning desire in you to say, man, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm excited about Jesus. I want to tell other people about Jesus. I want to live for God. I want to please the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you need your zeal restored. You need to get your excitement back. How do you do that, Pastor? Let me tell you how to do it. Jesus told us how to do it. Because, now listen at this right here. This is very interesting to me. And it kind of shows you what's really important to the Lord. Now look at Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. This is Jesus talking to that church. He said, "I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them that are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have borne and has patience, and for my name's sake have labored and has not fainted." Here's a church that's got it all going on. They're laboring, they're working, they're serving. They have gifts of the Spirit in operation. I mean, they are able to discern real apostles from false ones. They don't live immoral lifestyles. Bible says here, "Thou cannot bear them which are evil." In other words, they are not in fellowship with people that's not living right. You can't snort cocaine and then look up and tell a man he needs Jesus. You can't sleep with a woman and then turn around and tell her, "Now, you know, we need to repent. We need to make things right with God. You need to live for Jesus." So I would say this church is doing good, right? But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, thee, because you have left your first love." So they had lost their zeal. They had lost their affection for God. They had lost their enthusiasm. They were still doing all the right things. Because you can train and discipline yourself to do right. Right? You know, I can teach my children to take the trash out, to make their bed up every morning, you know, to keep their rooms clean. But that doesn't mean they're doing it with enthusiasm. Doesn't mean that they're passionate about cleaning their room up. Sometimes they get in there cleaning and it take them, you know, something that'll take them 30 minutes or take them 4 hours. You know why? They don't have no pleasure in it. They're obedient and they're doing the right thing, but guess what? Their heart is not in it. Right? So that's what Jesus said about this church. He said, look, y'all doing all the right things, but you don't love me like you used to love me. You're going through the motions of serving me, but your affection and your heart, it's not on me. Your eyes are not on me. You're doing things just because you've been trained to do things right. But your heart ain't in it. You have left your first love. Then he gives them the key. How do you get the zeal back? He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen." What is he telling you? He's saying, consider your ways. Remember. Think about this. Consider what you used to do, and how you used to be with me, and how you used to love me, and how you used to get up when I tell you to pray, and now you just lay in the bed and turn over. You used to tell people about me. You used to be excited about witnessing. You used to be excited about going to prayer. You used to be excited going to church. I mean, you're excited about being there, and you're not dragging in 30 minutes late. He said, "Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, He said, remember how you used to be with me? He's saying, consider your ways. Then he said this. He said, now think about it. He said, now I want you to repent. I want you to change your mind about how you're living. I want you to go in another direction, and I want you to make a change for the better. I want you to come back to me. I want you to love me like you used to love me. That's what he's saying. Now, I remember when I got saved that, you know, 3 or 4 months I'm into this, being saved, and I got this fire in me, just burning bright. I mean, I'm just loving Jesus with everything I got. And then I'd go to some churches, and I'd see people that didn't have no fire. And they're just going through the motions. And I say, Lord, please don't ever let me get to a place where I'm not excited about you. Please, Lord, don't let me settle into a comfort zone where I'm no longer pursuing. See, zeal means embracing, pursuing, and defending. Don't let me get into a place where I'm no longer embracing. Don't let me get into a place where I'm no longer pursuing. Don't let me get into a place where I'm no longer defending the faith. Because I'm going to tell you, when you fired up by God, you defend the faith. When somebody say, yeah, boy, I tell you what, the Lord blew them houses down over there. That's the Lord's work, that hurricane. When you're zealous for God, you say, oh, no, wait a minute. My God don't blow houses down. Why would God do that to a person? Jesus sent him to redeem people and all that stuff bring destruction. That ain't God. God ain't blowing people's houses down to wiping out whole towns. He said, repent. Change your ways. That's what repent means. Make up your mind to change. Then he said this, and do the first works. Go back to reading. Go back to praying. Go back to praising God. Go back to witnessing. Go back to talking about Jesus and letting him be the center of your life, letting him be the apple of your eye. That's what he's telling you. Amen? Repent and do the first works. Well, you might be here today and you say, well, Pastor, I'm not really out of the will of God. I'm doing everything right, and I got some zeal in me, and I'm excited about the Lord. I witness when I have time. Sometimes people will feel that way. But there's always another place you can go. There's always another level that you can achieve. Now, let me give you a short illustration that God gave me during the first service, but it applies here. Was when I was coaching baseball, when Gabriel was in Little League, I was a head coach, and we had a big old guy on our team that was slow as molasses. He just was slow. He ran like he was picking his feet up in molasses or something. And one day, Gabe, you remember this, he hit the ball to the fence. And we say he gonna get a triple because he hit it over everybody's head. He could have made a triple easy. And they almost threw him out at second base. He was running all the pain. Run, 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 run. And he was running and he stepped on the base and the man put the glove on it. I said, boy, you just made it. And I'm the third base coach. So I'm standing over there and I say, hey, man, you ain't got another gear? It's just one speed. What's up? Everybody started laughing because he didn't have but one gear. That's the way some Christians are. One speed. All the time. Just one speed. No enthusiasm. They ain't got another gear. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, have another gear. We can all do more. We can all love Jesus more. Now, let me give you the other side of this. I remember when Gabriel got his first hit. It was a single. And we was excited. Me and CZ was in the stand. Everybody jumped up. He hit it. He hit an outfit. He going to make it to first base. Got his first hit. But I seen him do this and start digging for second base. And them little feet was a moving, boy. He put in another gear. And I looked at him and I said, he's trying to get a double out of single. And when I saw him go around that corner giving everything he got, I started crying. I bust out into tears. I said, that's my boy down there. Look at my boy. Stretching a single into a double. And he was getting it. I had never had that happen to me before. I had never been prouder of him than that day, that it brought tears in my eyes. And I'm a pastor, you know what I'm talking about? I'm up there, and I'm realizing that all this water coming out of my eyes, and I'm trying to be cool, you know? But when I saw him digging in to get more than what he was really entitled to, or what he should have been able to do, get first base and be satisfied. When he wasn't satisfied with first base, and he went around, he saw from the moment he hit that ball, this is going to be a double. And he took off, and I mean rounded that bat, and you could see the dirt flying up from his shoes. And then he slid into second base and stood up after he slid and then started wiping his knees off. Then he'd always take his batting gloves off and put them in his pocket there. Then he'd look up there and I said, boy, boy, that's my boy there. That's him right there. That's mine. That's the same way God is. When he see you digging in, going for another level, I mean giving all you got serving him, he start bragging on you. It makes him proud of you and he say, that's my boy. That's what he did with Jesus. When Jesus went into that water in Jordan and John baptized him, then the father said, that's my son. He couldn't hold back his enthusiasm and his zeal for his son. So he said, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Every one of y'all got another gear. And you need to dig in. And you need to serve this Jesus I'm telling you about with everything you got. You need to rededicate your life to him and ask God to restore your zeal and your passion and your fire, to put the glow back on you, to put the ball back in you. Stir up that gift that's in you and be a willing vessel that he can use and work through. He wants to use you for his glory. And I'll tell you, God has been answering my prayer that I prayed a few months after getting saved. Lord, don't let me dry, and don't let me wither on the vine. Periodically, he had to come and stoke me again and stir up those embers on the inside of me and say, Greg, you're getting a little too lukewarm here. You're settling into too much of a comfort zone. You need to stir yourself up again. You need to go back to confessing the word more, praying more, seeking me more, spending more time with me. It's time for you to rededicate yourself again, though.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor.